This concept and its corollary are used to justify all manner of piracy. Licenses are granted to rape and pillage and murder innocent people in Iran, Panama, Colombia, Iraq, and elsewhere. EHMs, jackals, and armies flourish for as long as their activities can be shown to generate economic growth, and they almost always demonstrate such growth, thanks to the biased sciences of forecasting, econometrics, and statistics. If you bomb a city and then rebuild it, the data shows a huge spike in economic growth. The real story is that we are living a lie. Like my main resume, we have created a veneer that hides the fatal cancers beneath the surface. Those cancers are exposed by the X-rays of our statistics, which disclose the terrifying fact that history's most powerful and wealthiest empire has outrageously high rates of suicide, drug abuse, divorce, child molestation, rape, and murder, and that, like a malignant cancer, these afflictions spread their tentacles in an ever-widening radius every year. In our hearts, each of us feels the pain. We cry out for change. Yet we slam our fists to our mouths, stifling those cries, and so we go unheard. It would be great if we could just blame it all on a conspiracy, but we cannot. The empire depends on the efficacy of big banks, corporations, and governments, the corporatocracy. But it is not a conspiracy. This corporatocracy is ourselves. We make it happen, which, of course, is why most of us find it difficult to stand up and oppose it. We would rather glimpse conspirators lurking in the shadows, because most of us work for one of those banks, corporations, or governments, or in some way are dependent on them for the goods and services they produce and market. We cannot bring ourselves to bite the hand of the master who feeds us. That is the situation I was pondering as I sat staring at the headlines on the screen of my computer, and it raised a number of questions. How do you rise up against a system that appears to provide you with your home and car, food and clothes, electricity and health care, even when you know that the system also creates a world where 24,000 people starve to death each day, and millions more hate you, or at least hate the policies made by representatives you elected? How do you muster the courage to step out of line and challenge concepts you and your neighbors have always accepted as gospel, even when you suspect that the system is ready to self-destruct? Slowly, I stood up and headed back to the house to pour myself another cup of coffee. I took a short detour and picked up my copy of the Palm Beach Post, lying near the mailbox beside our driveway. It had the same Bechtel Iraq article, copyrighted by the New York Times. But now I noticed the date on the masthead, April 18th. It is a famous date, at least in New England, instilled in me by my Revolutionary War-minded parents and by Longfellow's poem. Listen, my children, and you shall hear of the midnight ride of Paul Revere on the 18th of April in 75. Hardly a man is now alive who remembers that famous day and year.